Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you have joined us today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the area code, it's 904. Looking forward to your comments, your call, your question. Perhaps this has triggered questions in your mind about the millennial reign. When will it be? Where will it be? Who will be there? Why will the millennial reign take place? At what point in time in chronology will it happen? That's the reason we're talking about today, chronology of things to come. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the Bible College professors in Conservative Theological University. We'll be talking about the university and the subjects we're teaching for the fall semester at the close of this broadcast. So stay tuned. Hang in there. It may be something that will be of interest to you. Dr. Phelps, we're talking about the fact that in the millennial reign, there'd be no such thing as sin. Sin will not be tolerated. And I just had a little thought just before the break. If sin's not going to be tolerated, people like Nancy Pelosi would have a tough time, and Chuck Schumer, and all of the others that we find today that claim they're praying for the president and that claim that they're wanting to do what's right, and yet they are dissing God, dissing the Bible, murdering babies by way of abortion, and have some thought somehow, some way that they can do all of that here on earth and wind up being in heaven eventually, but also thinking that they would be part of the citizens in the kingdom, that millennial reign, that kingdom where the Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Continue your thought for our listeners on that subject.
We were talking about what it's going to be like during the future millennial kingdom. It's going to be a time of righteousness. According to Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible tells us, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." I believe this verse is talking about a person, person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And when Jesus comes, he's going to bring in righteousness. Listen to the scripture, Isaiah 11, starting at verse 2 again. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." We're talking about the Messiah here. That's Christ. "And shall make him of quick understanding the fear of the Lord. And shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf among the young lions and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. And the suckling child shall play with the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea."
Well, that's a wonderful thought when you think of that. In fact, just the term, the lamb shall lay down with the lion, there will be peace during that day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the chronology of things to come. In specific, we're talking about the millennial reign, the 1,000-year ruling reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, perhaps people have a question, and I'll insert this at this juncture thinking about it. Because I'm sure that people are thinking, well, who will be the subjects? If you have a king and a kingdom, then there will be subjects. Who will those subjects be in the millennial reign? Perhaps you're asking, ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, perhaps you're saying, will I be there? Perhaps you're saying, will the Jewish people be there? Who will be, Dr. Phelps, who will be the subjects that the King Jesus will be ruling over in this 1,000 years? And let's get the chronology and the setting straight again. This will be after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, after he has slain the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the church, the Antichrist, the false prophet with the sword of his mouth, Revelation 19, 17 through 21. It's after that, then Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so for this 1,000-year reign, Dr. Phelps, tell our listeners, who will the subjects be, the people, the individuals, who will be in the millennial reign?
There is much that's said in the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah by way of promise. I repeat, by way of promise to the nation of Israel. God promises them, not only will he deal with them, chastening and punishing them for their rebellion, but also God promises to restore them. So we answer by saying some of the citizens, the primary group of people, will be the restored nation of Israel. A remnant of the nation of Israel will be saved and will be returned to the promised land. So I'm going to read from Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3. God promises, "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Now, you can readily see that that's one of the many, many verses in the scriptures where God promises to restore the nation of Israel to the promised land. In the passage in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, God says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And it says it's not going to be just like it was given in Moses' time, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband to them, he says. "But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts. I'll be their God. They shall be my people." And many other passages in that same chapter talk about this wonderful promise that God makes to restore the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is going to be the prominent nation among all the other nations of the world during the future millennial kingdom.
Yes, and Dr. Phelps, if we could touch on this for our listeners' edification and comfort and encouragement. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Rome, said that all of Israel shall be saved, that is, delivered. And yet today we recognize that most of the Jewish people have scales on their eyes, according to the Scripture. They do not recognize Yeshua Messiah. They've not been saved. They've not said yes to Jesus. But according to, I believe, Dr. Phelps, it's in Zechariah, the 12th chapter, verses 9 and following, says that there's coming a day that the Jewish people will weep and wail as over the weeping over the loss of a firstborn son, and will receive Yeshua Messiah as Savior, and they will then be entered into the millennial reign with the church age saints. But when it says all of Israel, the thing that's fascinating to me that our listeners need to understand, it doesn't mean everyone today that's in Israel, every Jewish person, because by that time, in the 7 years of tribulation with the Antichrist, two-thirds of the human population will have already been destroyed. And so that all of Israel shall be all of Israel, but it's a minuscule remnant of Israel that shall be saved. And so I want our listeners to understand that we're talking about now the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, in the chronology of things to come, and the nation of Israel, the children of Israel that will say yes to Yeshua Messiah, will also be in the millennial reign. It is what I believe would be concerned there. What would you call that in relationship to that group?
In the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, if you want to read the passage, you will find out that there were at least 12,000 from each of the tribes. So there are at least that many.
That's right.
And so that's,
and that 12,000 each of the tribe, 144,000,
yeah,
they're not Jehovah's Witnesses.
No.
As some say. That's 144,000, and they are the virgin male Jewish preachers witnessing, preaching the everlasting gospel, and multitudes of Jewish people in the last days of the tribulation will be converted, will get saved, will say yes to Yeshua, Messiah. And that 144,000 will be preaching and teaching. By the way, that's not only in Revelation 7, it's in Revelation 14 also. And it's a wonderful study in relationship to, even in the midst of God's judgment, God's wrath being poured out upon a world, His grace and His mercy still prevails, so that there will be those that will be saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior, even in the days of the tribulation. But it will be those that have never heard the gospel. Dr. Phillips, continue our thought in relationship to those subjects, those that will be in, under the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in that thousand-year reign.
We believe that during the thousand-year reign of Christ, the reconciled and righteous people of all nations
yes.
will be there. I'm turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 8, where we read about a Roman soldier who met Jesus and asked for his help and his healing of a servant. And when he talked with this man, he said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but he says, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He says, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not so in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And what he was trying to say there, then, to this man of faith, he says to this man, you understand there's going to be a time when there'll be a lot of people from all other nations in addition to the nation of Israel, from believers of all nations. So the Old and the New Testament believers and the tribulation saints, including the people of faith, who are mentioned in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, will be subjects of the King in the future millennial kingdom. Now, that means there are going to be a lot of people of faith there. Jesus said to this man, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. Well, he was talking about believers.
Yes.
So at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, the only people who will enter are believers. They're all believing saints. Also, the Bible talks about in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and John chapter 3, about those who will have a part in the millennial kingdom, and that's the redeemed bride of Christ.
Yes.
We read in the book of the Revelation, that first chapter, about those who will be there, and we find that it's going to be those who are redeemed. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, which reads like this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests unto God, his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. And in that fifth chapter, we read those who are mentioned again, and those who are the redeemed are going to say, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Mm-hmm. Now that means that you and I, who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, are going to be citizens in the future millennial kingdom. So the scriptures teach us that the saved in the church are not only heirs and joint heirs with Christ, but will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests. Notice he says priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Yes.
So we have at least the nation of Israel, the reconciled and righteous people of all nations, the redeemed bride of Christ. But I'd like to suggest to you another group, and that's the royal band of angels. When Jesus comes back, according to Matthew 25:31, he'll come with his holy angels.
That's right.
And I'm so thankful that the Bible tells us that Jesus gives us mention of these are going to be there. The elect angels will accompany Christ at his appearing in glory and will serve during the millennial kingdom.
Yes. Hold your thought there just a moment, Dr. Phelps. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Always a delight to hear from you.
I think it's a wonderful topic you got. It sure answers a question for me. I've always heard it, you know, it says that we'll rule and reign with Christ. And he may say, okay, I'm going to make you rule over 5 cities. Well, I've always been a little concerned. I don't know anything about ruling over a city. But lately, with all this cities being burned down, I realize these Democrats, mayors and governors, they don't know anything about it either. So I don't feel so bad, because at least I'll have Christ Jesus to call up and ask for advice, you know. But
actually, the Bible teaches us. Go ahead.
Beg your pardon?
Go ahead.
I said my main question is, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Youngblood, is I listen. I drive a truck, and I listen to this station all day long. And I listen to a couple stations who are primarily minorities. All they talk about, 99%, is how to make your finances in order and how to get ahead in life. And I'm just wondering that with all that's going on in the world, shouldn't they be bringing a little bit of the topics that you talk about up? Shouldn't they be... I'm not saying being totally political, but shouldn't they be a little bit involved in what's going on? That's my question to you.
I think that all Christians need to exercise their right to be a part and take part in the political things of this world. We're not second-rate citizens. We are told by Jesus to let our light shine. And so I believe that Christians should be involved in issues, in politics, in government, and to be a part, especially to vote. We need to vote our conscience, vote according to the scriptures, and vote for those who do right, so that we will have good leaders, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty.
One of the things that I would say to our caller, Dr. Phelps, is we need to be involved in everything that's theological, doctrinal, and biblical. We need to have a good handle on the Word of God. And in doing so, we need to be salt and light, as you just spoke of. But one of the things that I believe also is part of the question that's being asked is, shouldn't there be a focus on theological, biblical things? So often in society today, we find those even that say they're saved, and all they talk about is prosperity, plenty, and getting ahead, and doing this, and doing that, and not thinking about, as I call it, the chronology of things to come. What's going to happen, just as Dr. R.G. Lee asked that young engineer, what then? What then? What then? Most people have never thought beyond this life as to what they'll be doing in the afterlife.
Exactly. Exactly, Dr. Youngblood. It's right now all the weight of alerting people and being diligent and aware is on your shoulders. And I just don't hear any minorities speaking up. I just don't hear it. It's all about this world, nothing about the world to come. So, thank you.
Thank you so much, but let me continue with that answer very briefly. for our listeners' edification. Unfortunately, across ethnic lines, denominational lines, we have those today that are not even concerned about, even spiritual, so-called spiritual people, religious people, where they, most of them are filled with the denominational dogma. Most denominations today are filled with social justice philosophies and mindset. And as a result of that, we find the world having more impact on the church than the church having impact on the world. This is the reason, Dr. Phelps, I believe it is so imperative that we talk about theological doctrinal subjects, especially as we see them chronologically, as we're speaking of today. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the millennial kingdom. That's the thousand-year rule of the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns before we ushered into eternity. Dr. Phelps, we're talking about just before we took our call, we're talking about those that are going to be subjects in the millennial kingdom. Continue your thought on that.
For our listeners' benefit, I would like to suggest that during the future millennial kingdom, someone's going to need to be the mayor of Jacksonville.
That's right.
And we need some good leadership.
That's right.
But there are those who will not enter into the millennial kingdom. The Bible talks about those who will not enter the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Apostle Paul wrote these words of truth, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And others who are mentioned there as well. I believe it just simply means those who are considered to be unrighteous. For he says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God."
And if we can explain to our listeners the word kingdom, is the Greek word basileon, means the rule and the reign of. It is the dominion, the rule and the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, the thought just came to me in Matthew 5:5, the what's called the Beatitudes, or the, as some have termed it, the Be Happy Attitudes. And the Beatitudes in the 5th chapter and the 5th verse says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That is a wonderful thought in relation to many things. Many times people have thought, well, how does the Christian inherit the earth? And it's exactly what we're talking about today. It is the thousand-year reign, the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue your thought on those that will not be in the millennial kingdom, Dr. Phelps.
In the future millennial kingdom, the unrighteous will not enter, and also the unconverted. In the book of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was talking about the little children. Someone asked the question about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus took a little child, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And I believe what he's talking about, that means those who are not part of the kingdom of God, by humbling themselves and becoming a subject of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people are rebellious. Many people don't have a childlike faith and trust. It means those who have never experienced then the new birth. In Ephesians chapter 5, also the Bible tells us these words about those who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. It says in Ephesians in chapter 5, for he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So that's the unclean, those who have not been washed white in the blood of Christ.
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the things to come, the chronology of things to come, the millennial reign, the thousand-year rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who will and who will not be in that kingdom's rule and reign. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Praise God for you, Dr. Youngblood. Brother Davis here.
Brother Davis, always good to hear from you, brother.
Hi.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hello, Dr. Phelps.
Hey, good to hear from you.
I just wanted to make one comment, basically, on everything you both have said. And, you know, I think of a lot of both of you. I just thank God for two gentlemen that are living, you know, the word of God and have a life to back up with what you are preaching about. And this is what the church is so in need of on today. Good, solid leaders that will stand on the word of God, preach and teach the word of God, and have a life to back it up. But I thank God for the church, you know, basically all together, because the church will be a part of the kingdom. And here's what I wanted to comment on, coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 11. It says, both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. It's a great privilege and an honor for a believer to know that the very same Lord Jesus Christ that hung on the cross is going to call you his brother in the kingdom. Praise God. That just makes me feel so good. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Amen. Just proving out to us, amen, on today, that the church will be a part of the millennial kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that call and for that comment, and God may you be blessed today. Looking forward to our serving the Lord together. Dr. Phelps, what else does it say? Who else will not be in the kingdom?
Those who will not be in the kingdom include the unbelieving. And the scriptures tell us in John chapter 3 and verse number 36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. Elsewhere in the scripture, we're told unbelief will keep us from enjoying the blessings and the things of God.
Absolutely. We've got about 45 seconds, Dr. Phelps, and this is very brief, but there are some people that believe that this is the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign, is not to be taken literally. Speak to that for about 30 seconds before we finish the broadcast today. Is the millennial kingdom real? Is it something, when we study the scriptures, is it literal or is it just a figment of the imagination?
When Jesus ascended, the Bible tells us it was visible, it was literal, it was bodily, it was scriptural, it was geographical. All of that tells us it was real. So when he comes again, it's going to be just like that.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you on board. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.